Blog Talk Radio.
Drops fall, and the beauty of it all is when the sun comes shining through to make those rainbows in my mind. When I think of you sometime, and I want to spend some time with you, just the two of us. We can make it if we try. Look for love, no time for tears. Wasted water's all that is, and it don't make no flowers grow. Good things might come to those who wait, but not for those who wait too late. We gotta go for all we know. Just the two of us. We can make it if we try. Just the two of us.
Just the two of us.
Just the two.
Welcome once again to the Between the Sexes Blog Talk Radio Show. I am your host, Charles Billups, along with my beautiful wife,
Reneal Billups.
All right, it's good to be back in the cockpit with you one more time. I tell you that the weather outside has been pretty treacherous. All the different states have been under a lot of snow and all these type of advisories. It's really been crazy out there. I'm waiting for spring to come on board. I'm ready. Ready to, you know, wear some shorts, some sandals, all of those type of things. You know what I'm saying? All I'm seeing is ice, and more ice. So, you know, we're looking forward to all of that. But it's nice and toasty in the house, and it's good to be with you guys here once again on the Between the Sexes Blog Talk Radio Show. Man, I tell you, today... we really have an awesome set of guests with us on today. Today we're going to have Dr. Antonio Borrello, PhD, and Dr. Teresa Pavone, PhD, with us on today. And I tell you, we're going to have a great show, you know, and I'll let my wife reiterate a little bit more on that. As she's sitting here next to me, ready to go today. Let's go.
Okay. Well, I mean, I'm super excited. Like you said, we're going to be having Dr. Antonio Borrello and Dr. Teresa Vaughn, and I'm hoping that I'm pronouncing that name correctly. They are both well-known, renowned psychologists, relationship expert. I'm throwing it out there. I'm excited. I haven't had the one-on-one conversations that my husband has had, but I'm just really super excited over what they've done. They're like my heroes at this point, because I was kind of looking over some of the things that they did, but I'm sure they're going to share their own personal information. But I love the fact, as you're going to find out later on, that they came together and they wrote a book together. And I'm still trying to... Forgive me, still trying to kind of go through everything here. We kind of live a hectic and very busy life. But Dr. Pavone and Dr. Borrello wrote a book, and basically, go ahead and throw the title out there, because you know how I get when I'm not having my book, my paper in front of me.
All right, no problem. So today's title is titled the show, Redefining Divorce and Redesigning Dating. So it's redefining divorce and redesigning dating. So
as you said that, you made me bring me back to my thought. We had a few technical difficulties today that kind of threw my mind off. But what I wanted to say was I commended them, because they, as they'll share later on, they were once married and they separated. But what a bold step it was of them to write a book to inform those out there who might be going through the same situation, whatever it is, some tools that I'm very well interested in hearing about. And I'm sure that we have plenty of listeners out there who can definitely benefit from that. So I'm going to shut up now because I'm just ranting on.
Oh, no, it's all good. As a matter of fact, we actually have them live on the line already on today. Dr. Borrello and Dr. Pavone, are you there?
We're here.
We are here, and we're excited to be here. Thank you so much for having us. Hi.
Oh, great.
Thank you all for taking the time to spend with us, and we apologize for the time we kept you waiting. But I'm really excited to speak to you all. I'm super excited to hear all the nuggets of wisdom that you're gonna deposit into me today. I'm excited about
it. Hey, me too. I'm very excited too. As a matter of fact, you know, I'm getting off work trying to get here, and I had the car on two wheels going around the corner.
I believe it.
And I said, because today is Dr. Borrello and Dr. Pavone. I can't wait. It's going to be a great show. And then when I got started, tried to have some technical difficulties, and I'm like, oh man. But I'm really excited. So now that we have you here on the line, please. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself as far as your professional backgrounds, whichever order you guys would like to go in?
Okay, well, I will defer to Teresa. Ladies first.
See, I taught him something. Okay. It's a very compelling story, I think. Antoni and I were actually in 2001 married in the Vatican. In Vatican City, and we were divorced in the D in 2012. And it's compelling because I think that we were able to, and as psychologists, I think we needed to, redefine our relationship, bring it back 180 degrees because it was bad. We had children. We went through our adjustment period. It was treacherous, kind of like the weather out there at first. And we realized that these children are depending on us. We need to figure this out and have a unified front, have one voice, and figure it out. And so I think that was the impetus for the book, is to redefine the relationship. And then if we could do it, we wanted to share kind of what we went through in the, dating and relationships in the age of social media and some of our stories. The fact that we were down in the trenches and we pulled ourselves up and it took a lot. It is our field, and Antonio can talk to his field a little bit. I'm an industrial and organizational psychologist, so I studied the behavior of individuals and relationships within the workplace. Antonio is more from a clinical standpoint, but I'll let him talk on that. But so it's a compelling story. And if we could figure it out, there's not a person out there who can't figure it out as well. So Antonio, go ahead.
Thank you. We still have those children, by the way. She said we had children. I wanted to interrupt you really badly, but I didn't. And you all might hear them at any time pop into the room and ask us some kind of question. But as Teresa mentioned, we were married for 10 years, and most of my work, my work history has, and my PhD and my master's, is in marriage and family psychology. So I'm a psychologist, but my expertise was in relationship therapy. And so when I found myself going through a divorce, I had a credibility issue. I found myself questioning every aspect of my life. I questioned, who I was. I questioned how good I was at my work and whether I believed in what I'd been practicing for so long. At the same time, I was working on a relationship book that kind of changed into a dating book and then back into a relationship book. And somehow I couldn't seem to get the book wrapped up and finished. And that was because I had this credibility issue. I just didn't feel like myself. And Teresa and I were divorced in 2012, and we struggled through a rough time. And like any couple that's going through divorce, you have, property issues, you have custody issues, you have, children, and all of these dynamics that were really tearing us apart. And so we struggled for about a year, and you know, it wasn't pretty. But we knew that we had to redefine our relationship and make it work. We needed to become, I mean, the thing, I think I told you, Charles, on the phone when we spoke the last time, that no matter what, we're always family. We are the parents. I am the father. She's the mother to our kids. And we're always going to have to be in each other's lives somehow. So we knew that, and we knew we just had to redefine our relationship and make it work. When once we did that, you know, and during this time I was still, you know, working on this book, and I realized one day I had an epiphany, and I said, you know, Teresa, I think you need to do this book with me. We were both dating and going on online dates and Tinder and Match.com and all of these things, and you know, the world has changed such a significant amount since we were both in the dating world. And so since we were both going through some of the same things, and we have a unique perspective on the same relationship from three different sides. Like we both dated each other, we're married to each other, and we divorced each other. So we have a man's perspective and a woman's perspective on the same relationship and all of those dynamics, in addition to our new experiences as single parents. So I asked her, and I think she thought I was crazy at first, and she was like, nah, that's crazy. But then when she thought about it for a while, she agreed. And so we wrote a book called Relationships 2.0, and it's in the process of being printed now and should be available within the next, I think we should have delivery of it in the next 30 days. But, you know, you can go on our website and look at that and, you know, keep up to date with that. But that's basically, in a nutshell, that's our story. And I think it's a unique story because, you know, as Teresa had mentioned, it's so important. And there's so many people, the divorce rate is over 50%. And those people who have kids, it can be such a tragedy for the children, but it doesn't have to be. Our kids are happier today than they ever were when we were married.
Well, I'm definitely going to make sure that I have to make my notes. I'm a note taker, so I'm going to make sure that I keep up with that book, and I'm definitely make sure I get myself a copy. And then I'm going to also, just for the heck of it, because it's nice to do, I'm going to get another book, and maybe one of the callers who listen to this show, maybe I can purchase a book and do something nice for one of them too.
Yeah, that'll be a good thing.
I think that would be really nice. So I'm going to make sure I keep up with that. But I'm one of those ones where I try my best to, I get talkative, so y'all can tell me to be quiet at any time. But on the other hand, I do have a question. As you all decided to go in there and write the book together, I don't know if you're, do you have small children or teenagers? Like our daughter's 20 today, actually.
Yeah,
today's
the birthday.
Oh, happy birthday. Congratulations.
Happy birthday. They're medium. They're 8. Gianna Marie is 10. She'll be 11 in April. And Antonio Joseph is 8. So I would say they're medium size.
Oh, medium. Okay. My question was going to be, how did they feel about you all writing that book together? You know, coming together in such a way. With them being the age they are, I'm not sure how they, you know, whether or not they've even had the opportunity to read that. But I think that that's such a huge step, not only bring forth healing for yourselves, but also I believe that if they were at a point that they would be able to, you know, see mommy and daddy work together, you know, and see mommy and daddy work so hard for them and for you and for helping others. I just kind of think that's very commendable. You know, I'm gonna shut up now.
No. That's a fantastic question. I'm so glad you asked that because from the children's perspective, I mean, we dedicated it to them, and that's just a wonderful, wonderful question. And it did, I think it did bring about healing, and it did bring about peace. And they saw mom and dad, and we worked together, you know, we're professors as well, so they saw us work together in the past, so I think that this showed them that we're able to work together this time without the fighting. That was a really, really great question, and I think it did bring about some wonderful healing and feelings for them, and the fact that we dedicated it to them, and the fact that they taught us the most important love, and that's the unconditional love. And so, you know, as far as relationships, it doesn't get better than that, and I think they understand that and feel that from us. So no, that was a great question.
Yeah, I agree. I love the question, and I don't think that I don't remember anyone asking us that question, but it's a great question. I have to disagree with Teresa on one thing. The fighting does continue, and the difference is that I don't have to really – I could just be like, oh, like, for example, if we had a fight now, I could just be like, okay, I got to go, and then I just leave, and then I don't have to worry about it. Because we're not married anymore, so the
but
fighting
I do
does
know where
continue.
He lives, and I will chase him down until it's finished.
But I think that we both understand that we get over it. I mean, if we have disagreements, we have disagreements, and you know, we work through them, and we have the same goal, which is to be a happy family. Although it's not a traditional family, we still want the same things, and you know, the great thing is that, you know, her bad habits. None of which I have, but her bad habits, I don't have to, like, you know, deal with them. Like, you know, I can, you know, she can hang anything she wants on the walls and decorate the house any way that she wants to, and I don't have to be concerned about that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I know. None of those bad habits that you have, I know.
Oh, yeah.
She knows you well.
Yeah, you know, because she's, you know, yeah, I've got, you know, one, I tried to make one room, I tried to make it a man cave down in the basement.
Oh,
it wasn't very successful. Not that she took it over, it's just that, you know, just I just found myself just being there by myself. And so,
Right. Like, I'll give you an example. Like, when I was married, I think that almost every night she used to bother me and wake me up and tell me that I'm snoring. And now that I've been divorced, no one bothers me when I'm sleeping anymore. So I apparently I didn't have a snoring problem.
<You're so serious.
laughs> Yeah. Hey, I'm in the club too, man. I got a CPAP machine right next to the bed.
Oh, no.
There you go.
Something for. Yeah, he has a medical illness that he didn't want to listen to me about in the beginning.
You know, I keep saying I'm gonna put us on Skype because he's hitting me on my lap right now, but you guys can see that.
I didn't see a thing.
No, but really, you know, on a serious note, I mean, you know, the endeavor to write a book together after, you know, making the decision to be divorced. How was that for you in the beginning when you guys first came together to begin? Did it start one way and transform into something else? Did it get easier or better? I mean, did you guys? I mean, what? Tell me about the experience of, like, when you first came together to actually put in the work, and how did it go as time went on?
Okay. I'll answer for myself, and I think it was probably. A different experience for Teresa, because I had been working on the book for some time, and what I wanted to do was, in addition to, I wanted Teresa to do to write on every topic that I wrote on, so that we could combine them. Where things were the same, you know, that was fine. We just, you know, we kind of edited around that where we were, but there are areas in the book where we had difference of opinion, and I thought that was important to bring those two differing opinions together. One of the things that was probably most challenging was that, you know, we're dealing with the topic of relationships and dating, and so, you know, hearing about and sharing with one another the stories of dating, you know, wasn't always, you know, very easy to deal with. I mean, we were dealing with some raw emotions, but I think that because of that, we have a very honest book. You know, people say that they put their heart into something, you know, into the writing a book, and in the case with our book, I think that's certainly the truth.
Okay. Right, and I think just to Antonio's point, I think the fact that there's both a male and female perspective, I think is important. So it's not biased. It's not. I think it's pretty. It's written pretty, like he's saying, honestly and openly. And you have two different perspectives in there.
And you know, a lot of times, you know, when we're talking about, you know, relationship theory, you know, definitely, you know, we were both in agreement on those things because we you know, did quite a bit of research on the topics. But when it comes to things like dating, where there isn't, you know, so much, you know, research or formal research that has been done, you know, there's a lot of opinion there. So things that I think are applicable or important, you know, she disagreed with. And so, you know, it's good to have both, you know, both sides of that coin.
Yeah, I believe that between the sexes is very much so like that. I think our show is, you know, we try to do the same thing to, you know, have the male and female perspective, and I think that's awesome. And both being doctors, you know, in psychology, I think you have to have a natural want to help people, you know. And so
definitely.
I think when you guys said an honest perspective, you know, I think that's very therapeutic to have in a book, that someone knows when they're getting that book, they're getting an honest perspective from you guys. And I can't wait to read it. You know, I think that's very important. Honesty, you know, that's awesome. Very helpful.
I do have a question, though. You know where you were saying in the hello? I'm saying, did you lose it?
I don't know.
Yes,
Dr.
I'm
Borrello?
Here. We're here. I just, hello?
I thought I lost you. But as you were mentioning in the beginning, when you were going through this process, being a relationship expert yourself, and with you having the divorce and feeling those, for lack of a better term, insecurities, what do you think, because one of the things my husband and I was talking about earlier was that we got married very young. And when we got married, we have quite a few friends who got married at the same time. But it seems like one of the things that's been going on around us is that we have so many people who are getting divorced. And as they're getting divorced, I had a conversation with someone the other day that, you know, she felt like kind of almost like a failure because her marriage, you know, didn't go as planned. They had been together for so many years, and they have children, and now, you know, she's kind of in a place where she feels like a failure. And so, you know, but I know that's, I don't believe that she's a failure, and I express that, and I know that there are others out there who feel that way. So could you give a little something on that, you know? How did you get to the point where, you know, you recovered and realized that, you know, this was a learning experience, this was something that you can use to, you know, not to look at it as the end of all, you know, the world has now come to an end.
Right. Well, you know, I think that Teresa and I probably stayed married a few years longer than we should have. And I think we did that because of the field that we're in, because neither one of us wanted to accept what was the inevitable, what was the reality. And I think that what happened is that because my marriage didn't work out, at some point I felt like, you know, what kind of marriage, what kind of psychologist am I? What kind of marriage therapist am I if I'm having this issue myself? I mean, who, you know, I'm a divorced marriage counselor. It just kind of sounds like a contradiction. But I think there was a point in time when I realized that not getting a divorce, not making this relationship a success, because I look at it now as it is a success. I mean, we're together here on this phone call. We're joking about the things that you know, at one time might have been the cause of so much of our despair for us, for myself, for her, for our children, for our families. So I don't look at it any longer as a failure. I look at the relationship as a success. I mean, it's different, and it's not a marriage, but it certainly is a family. And I think that looking at our children and recognizing that, you know, every day they're excited and happy about their life. And I don't think that they could have said the same thing, you know, a few years ago when we were married and fighting and, you know, having the issues that we were having. So I think that depending upon the way that you frame the situation, it doesn't necessarily have to be, you know, I don't think we have to look at it as a failure, but I understand that I did look at it for at least a year. It was a painful failure. It was a big mistake that I was reminded of every day. And when I went into work, I just felt that I had an issue that needed to be addressed. And knowing that relationship is repaired, it's changed, it's redefined, but it works well, that is, you know, a resounding success for me.
That's a great point, Antonio. And if I can add, first of all, it's a great question. And I think that that pain that Antonio is talking about and that your friends are feeling right now and that, you know, framing it as a failure, it if the marriage fails, it fails. I don't think it has to necessarily define us. And I think, you know, for someone who was married at the Vatican, that was a pretty big pill to swallow. So if we're going to use the word failure, then our marriage definitely failed. But that, again, did not have to define us. It did not have to define our family. It was a long haul back. It wasn't something that we woke up one day and said, we're going to make this perfect. Now we're just going to redefine it. No, we had to walk through a lot of pain. We had to do a lot of work. And there was a lot of adjustments. There was a lot of biting your tongue and listening and turning the other cheek and realizing that was for the children first. But in the end, it also helped us. It helped us to get to that whole point again. And I think that before anyone can even think about dating, all of that, they've got to turn that corner. And that corner may take 6 months. It may take a year. It might take 2 years for someone. But getting to that point where they feel that they're in a good place, and they're not going to feel that they're in a good place if they can't even talk to their ex. They can't figure out what's best for their children. It can't just be, I'm in a good place, I'm moving on. What about your ex-spouse? What about the children? So there's a lot that goes along with that, but I don't think that the failure, so to speak, has to define who they are today or who they become. If they put themselves in a box, you know, in that box, shame on them. They've got to get out of it and figure it out. And I really, really, from the bottom of my heart, feel that they owe that to their children. I mean, we damage the children when we divorce. But like Antonio said, the children, our children today are happier than they've ever been. But it wasn't without a lot of work and a lot of swallowing of pride and whatever it took, we had to do and we had to work through.
No doubt, very proud. And I would definitely say that I'm a witness to the success of your marriage, because if it, you know, with I look at how passionate you all are about the children, and I'm one of those ones that's always about the children. But I look at how passionate you are about the children and the respect that you have for each other and the fact that you are willing to avail yourself to the whole world, basically, you know, to say this is what we went through and this is how we dealt with it and to learn from this and move on from this, and this is how you can mend this. And through whatever you all went through, you can now not only, you brought healing to your own family, but now you can help to heal other families, help others with their children and everything that goes on. So it's definitely a success. It's definitely a success. But, you know, I brought up that question because it was a sad experience for me to hear the close friend of mine, you know, that, especially because I knew that they had been together almost 20 years, you know, and it was, you know, their children are what I call stair steppers. They have four children and they're like 1 year apart from each other. And, you know, all boys and the kids look and it's like the spitting image of both of them. And they're really close to both mom and dad. And then it just was a, you know, and then we're really close friends with both mom and dad. So then, you know, it was a sad thing to hear. And
how is their relationship now?
Not the fact that they were getting not good.
Oh.
Not good. Not good. They haven't found that peaceful place yet. There's a lot of hurt there. And so as friends, we're still trying to figure out how we can help, because especially me, I'm being called on more. I guess my husband's not being called on as much as I am. So I'm still trying to figure out how to, you know, to help, but I'm not. I'm doing the best I can, the best way I can put it. But it's not at a good place, and I think it's just a lot of anger there, you know. And it has to get to the point. And I mean, if she's listening, she knows me, so she knows I'm gonna speak truthfully. I won't call her name, but she won't be upset with me. But there has to come a place where they have to put their differences aside for the children, and
mm-hmm.
that's concerning me, because they're not at that place.
Right.
They're not. They're very bitter towards each other at the moment. and that's
not uncommon. I mean, that's the sad part. It is not uncommon. Like I said, we didn't wake up one day, you know, to a month after the divorce and say, hey, we got to figure this thing out. Whoa, no. You know, it's just not. You're so self-absorbed that you almost forget that there are children involved, and that, you know, we go to great lengths sometimes to use them as pawns, you know, to and it's terrible.
Yeah, Teresa did that. I didn't.
Oh, stop. So, if, you know, if there's any way we can help others to avoid that, you feel bad for that, you know, as you turn that corner. It's like, what was I thinking? You know, and we'd love to help in that, from that aspect, and avoid a lot of that pain and just a lot of those mistakes.
Yeah, you know, and I think it's important to, you know, to basically get the message out that, you know, just because there is a divorce or some type of separation doesn't mean it has to be the end of the family.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right.
So with us, and then I'll share something, you know, personal. Me and my wife, you know, the our daughter that we're talking about, whose birthday it is today. You know, that is from a relationship that my wife had prior to me.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when she graduated from school, from high school, the whole family, her biological father, his mother,
his wife.
His wife.
Yeah.
Her parents. Her parents.
Yeah.
We were all at our house having a big party. I mean, I mean,
they even slept at our house.
They slept at our house. And me and you know, my daughter's biological father, we got out there in the yard and we worked together and we cleaned some things up, cut some limbs down together, hauled some things off, and picked up some things, and we were side by side on the grill. And it worked out. It really worked out great, and I kept saying, wow, you know, how blessed we are to be able just to have that to happen. So, you know, just because there's, like you said, just because there's the divorce or the separation doesn't mean that the family has to end. Mm-hmm. I think it could be very healthy, and so I just wanted to put that out there, you know.
And I have another question, and as now that you all have written the book and you're now kind of going back out and I don't know how, I don't want to, I guess, get too personal, but as you're going back out into the dating world and dealing with the cyber dating and the whatever, you know, chat rooms and whatever type of dating going on, has that been a, how does that work, I guess? I mean, I'm trying to put my question properly.
How does it work when one of us has a significant other?
Yeah, there you go. Thank you for pulling it out of my mouth.
Well, I think that, you know, that's something that, you know, certainly I've dealt with in the past, and it's not easy, and to be frank with you, I think a lot of people disagree with our approach and our belief that we are still, you know, a family. We'll always be family. You know, there's some people that think like, hey, now you know what, that relationship is over. You can still be parents to your kids, but you don't have to, you know, you don't have to, you know, be friends. You don't have to be involved in each other's lives. And I remember one time, probably a couple years after our divorce, it was New Year's Eve, and I was with a girl that I had been dating, and I called the kids to say, you know, Happy New Year and what have you, and then I talked to Teresa for a minute, and I, you know, wished her a Happy New Year as well. And when I got off the phone, you know, my girlfriend was upset. She said, why'd you have to wish her a Happy New Year? And when she said that, I was just, that just took me back for a second, and I said, this is wrong. I mean, this doesn't work for me. So I think that, you know, certainly there are people that would disagree with us, and I know that, you know, I think that if your significant other is able to really believe and understand that our relationship is almost like a brother and sister now. It's almost like a, you know, that she's a cousin of mine, or you know, that's the way that I look at it. That's the way that she looks at it, you know. And I think that, you know, the person that Teresa's dating now, I think that he's had problems with that. I'm not going to speak for him, but I'll let you handle that, Teresa. But, you know, it can be a challenge. It can be challenging for, you know, the other person. But I think if they really trust and know, you know, what our intentions are, then there isn't even a threat. I certainly want to be, you know, like Charles had explained, I want to be his best friend. I mean, if this person is in my children's life, if he's in Teresa's life, you know, I want to be a good friend of his too. I want him to trust me, and I want to be able to trust him and all of those things. I think that's the healthiest, you know, approach. But I think that, you know, getting to that point takes a little bit of time sometimes. Teresa?
Yeah.
No, I would definitely agree, and I love Charles' story about, you know, walking side by side, and I think that must have been probably the proudest day of your daughter's life.
And how much could she appreciate? I mean, that's something that she should. I mean, I would just think that she was thrilled that she didn't have to split up her time between two parties, one that her mom gave her, one that her dad gave her, and you know, everybody being together in, you know, harmony and you know, for the purpose of celebrating a blessed day. I mean, it's just wonderful. That's a beautiful story.
Mm-hmm.
I love it.
Yeah, thank you. It worked out. I mean, and they came from New York and we're in Michigan, so, you know, they drove down. It was great.
Wow.
Yeah.
But you know, man, you know, so that, I mean, there's so much that you guys have said today. And I know you're not even touching the tip of the iceberg of what you've written in that book. I know you haven't. And so I can't wait to get it comes out. You know, we're gonna be, you know, one of the first to purchase copies.
Yeah, I am. I'm definitely gonna do that.
And we're gonna make sure that you know, our listening audience, you know, someone in the listening audience will be able to get a copy of the book. So you say it's probably maybe a month away. Is that it? You say, and we can get it on the website.
Yeah, we've had, you know, a little bit of delay because we're trying to you know, come up with the best strategy for marketing the book, and you know, we're trying to get the best deal, you know, best deal possible on getting it printed. And so that has been the, you know, the source of delay. The book has been done probably since the end of December. Now I think we had final editing done then, and so at this point it's just a matter of you know, a little bit of negotiation here and there, and we had looked at getting it printed overseas and things like that, but it's important to us to have a physical copy in addition to, you know, the digital copy, and we want those to come out at the same time. So, but I would say probably within 2 to 3 weeks we'll have, you know, physical shipment of our first physical shipment of them.
Okay, so So while we have you on the line, I want to, can you share your website with us? And, you know, if you happen to want to hand out any contact information for someone that may be looking for, you know, your services or what have you.
Sure. Our website is www.relationships20.com, and you can find our contact information on there as well. If you're in the Michigan area and wanted to, needed some relationship therapy or you know needed the services of a counselor or psychologist, you know, you can contact me that way. And we're also on social media as well, and on Facebook you can look up relationships 2.0.com. No, I'm sorry. On Facebook, relationships 2.0, and also on Instagram and Twitter.
Okay. All right. Yeah, you're kind of breaking up a little bit there. That first part, right before you get ready to start the social media site, it was kind of breaking up a little choppy there. I don't know what happened with our connection.
But you said okay. www.relationship2.0.
The website, you can't have we found out that you can't have more than one dot, so it's relationships20.com.
Oh. Okay.
But the book
okay.
is Relationships 2.0. That's the name of the book.
All right.
Okay. How about you, Dr. Pavone? Do you want to share some of your information as to how to contact you for your services or anything like that?
You know what? Just as Antonio said, they you can go to the website, you can go to our Facebook, all of our contact information is there.
Oh, okay. All right.
It's all there. Phone numbers, everything is listed. Thank you.
All right,
okay.
No problem. Now, in closing, because we don't want to keep you, you guys have been so gracious, you've answered so many wonderful questions. I did want to, you know, ask if you could, you know, share with our listening audience, if someone is in a relationship, a marriage or a relationship, what have you, and they, you know, are having a tough time and they feel like they're on the brink of divorce. I mean, is there any kind of advice you can give to someone that, you know, don't know what to do? What have you? Is there a gauge or some type of? I mean, you know, what would be? I guess you know, in your own words, what would be your advice to people that are having a really tough time together?
Well, I think that it's important to get another perspective on things, and So I certainly am a strong believer in relationship therapy. I mean, that's what I do. But for those people who might not have insurance that covers it or can't afford it, even going to your pastor, your priest, or your pastor at church, you know, oftentimes they offer couples counseling or some help. But just you know, try to get some you know advice from a non-biased party. I mean, we all talk to you know, our sides, you know, when we're going through something like, you know, I know that I talk to my friends and I know that in my family, and I know that Teresa did the same thing, but we also went to quite a bit of marriage counseling as well. So, you know, I certainly believe that, you know, that can be very helpful, and it doesn't have to, you don't have to have a particular goal in mind. I mean, you don't need to go to relationship counseling because you think you want to save, you know, your relationship. Some people, you know, avoid relationship therapy because they think that I don't want to save this, but that's not necessarily the goal. It could be for successfully uncoupling, for, you know, going through the process of separating and doing it in the most, the healthiest way and the most beneficial way for everyone involved. So I certainly would suggest that. Teresa, do you?
Wow.
I absolutely agree. And I think a third party mediator, so to speak, I mean, when we're stuck in an area in our lives, we think we're right and we're stuck and we think we're right. And it's just this vicious cycle, and I think that a third party might see things a little bit more clearly, whether it's your pastor, your priest, your rabbi, whoever that person may be. But like Antonio said, we go to the people where we hear what we want to hear. Those are the people we reach out to, and they solidify what we're thinking, and they might not, they may think that's what we need. It might not be the truth. So I think that third party is very important, and I think you need to, depending on the history, depending if there's children, if there's other people involved, I think you need to exhaust all possibilities so you don't wake up in the morning and think, what if, or should I have? Exhaust those possibilities. Say that I did everything humanly possible to try. That would be
wow.
my suggestion.
Wow, and that is awesome. That is great advice. I'm happy to have had you guys on the show today. You guys have been so great, so helpful. I've learned a lot just today, just listening to you guys, and definitely we can't wait to get the book. We will be one of the first ones in line when it's ready.
Yes, and don't be surprised if you hear me reading some of the words of your book on the show.
Okay. Definitely. Thank you for the invitation, and you know, we'd love to come back again if you ever, you know, have a, you know, if you want us to come back and, you know, and answer phone calls.
Anytime.
From,
thank you.
You know, from your listeners, we'd be happy to do that as well.
As a matter of fact, I think that would be a great thing to do once your book comes out. You know, maybe, you know, someone might do some reading and might have a few questions they have, you know, they might want to throw you away, they might not understand, or might want to see something. So we'll definitely keep in touch. I would love for you all to definitely come back and do that.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
You
we'd be
it.
Honored.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All 2 hours long if you want.
No, I'll take care of that. Don't worry about it, guys. All right. No, but thank you so much. You guys have a wonderful, wonderful rest of the evening, okay?
Thank you. Thank you. Have a great weekend. Stay warm.
Thank you all. You all have truly inspired me on tonight. I'm really grateful to hear from you all. I feel such a love from you guys. I really do. I do. I'm a sap.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Anytime, we thank you. We're grateful to be on. Thank you.
All right. Have a good night.
You too. Bye-bye.
Wow, that was awesome. That was a great show. That's one of the best shows ever. You know, that was great. I learned a lot on tonight. You know, and even that last, you know, the answer that they gave concerning, you know, what to do when someone's in trouble. You know, and they're right. A lot of times we don't like going to a third party.
Yeah, I've heard that. I've heard that quite a bit from different ones. Just on the whole, for some reason, I think we think there's something, I don't know, shameful about going to someone to seek help about, unless it's something physical, you know, like you cut your hand, you break your, you know, they don't want to go to someone to help you mentally and emotionally. And I think it's so important.
Yeah, and I think, you know, probably one of the problems is, you know, we have a problem with sharing with someone else, you know, some of the things, and sometimes we just want to be right, and we're scared that someone else on the outside is going to say, hey, you know, buddy, you're in the wrong here. You know, we need people to agree with us. We're looking for a cheerleader squad.
But what makes Dr. Borrello and Dr. Pavone so important to society is that they do have that open mind, and they will help you out. We want to go to our friends where I can tell them, you know, Charles did so and so and so and so and so and so, and then my friends will agree with me and say, girl, yes, no, I wouldn't have done that. Yeah, he was wrong. We don't want someone who's going to actually be honest and open and, well, you know, lead us to whatever the answer is that you really need. So I find it, I really find what they did commendable and a true act of strength towards, you know, just with them as individuals, that they can come together, put their differences aside and be common courteous human beings to each other, but then that they love their children so much that they were willing to do whatever it takes to make sure that they didn't alter their life or affect their life in a way that would be negative, and they can still hold their heads up and say, Mom and Dad, you know, work this out, and this is what Mom and Dad did for us. I think that's so commendable.
Yeah, but, you know, those children are really blessed to have parents like that, you know, and you know, I like I said, I'll be one of the first ones, you know, ready to read that book. I think it's going to be very informational and very impacting.
Oh, you better believe I'm going to be reading it. I'm going to be, we're going to have a nice show. I'm looking forward to them coming back on and talking about that.
Yeah, so, you know, you guys be on the lookout because we will be having them back. As soon as we can, you know, have them back whenever we can schedule it. But I think tonight's show was, I think it was a great show. I think,
you know what else I wanted to say? We must consider when you go to your mom and your dad and your cousins and whoever it is, and you go to them in hopes for some form of understanding, someone to help you through your emotional whatever it is that you're going through. Sometimes I believe that we can start to seek advice from people who has not been where we've been, who does not fully understand the nature of our situation, who does not know, you know, what steps is best to take. And so we'll go and we'll seek the advice from people who would lead us further down the dark path, you know, tell us to do things that, whether it is to stay together, whether it is to separate, whatever it is, advice they're giving you, they're giving it to you based on their own experiences with their spouse and their significant other and whatever it is, and they're not coming to you from a standpoint of professionalism and understanding and openness. They're really more just dealing with their personal feeling, and so I think that's, well, I know that is why it's important to have people like Dr. Varela and Dr. Pavone, because not only have they been there, you know, they've been married, they have children, they've divorced, they've you know, taken all the steps and been through and faced all those things that some people might face. But they also have the background, the knowledge, the education, the schooling, like my grandma would say, the schooling, and so they can lead, they can help you, you know, more effectively. So I would love for us to, as a people, to not be so shameful about seeking help. I don't know, for some reason people just seem to shun away, some people just want to shun away from getting help mentally and emotionally, and I mean, it's very important, you know? I mean, your emotional state can affect everything else in your life, you know?
Yeah.
If
your
emotional state is not together, it's going to then eventually start affecting your physical health.
Absolutely,
you know?
And,
so,
yeah, especially if you have children. You know,
yeah.
It's going to affect them.
Affect you, and then what affects you also affects the children. I believe that children watch us more than we think they do. They know more than we think they do. They understand more than we think they do. And so, therefore, it's important that we, as parents, keep ourselves, and, you know, 100, keep ourselves 100 to make sure that we're as positive an influence as we can be to our children. And it's not in saying we won't mess up. We will. But then there's the opportunity to then, okay, I'm going to teach them what to do. You know, this is what you do when this comes up. And so I don't have a hat on to take it off for them, but I'll clap.
Yeah. All right. It was wonderful.
I think what they did is wonderful. And so I'm looking forward. You know, you heard about their book. I will keep you up to date as we get more information. And then hopefully once that book comes out, then we'll have them back on and we'll have a little session of talking about the book and seeing if we can help some people out, because I'm sure there's a lot of people who can benefit from that. So I'm so glad you came across them, Charles.
Yeah, absolutely. So remember, the website is www.relationships20.com. Relationships20. That's 2-0, not the word. Relationships20.
Yeah,
.com.
Yeah, but the book is called Relationships 2.0.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Relationships 2.0.
Well, once again, we thank everyone for tuning in. And join us next time as we do some more talking about some more great relationship stuff and information. And
stuff.
All right. And once again, special thanks again to Dr. Borrello and Dr. Pavone. You guys have a wonderful, wonderful rest of the evening.
I see the crystal raindrops fall, and the beauty of it all is when the sun comes shining through to make those rainbows in my mind. When I think of you sometime, and I want to spend some time with you, just the two of us, we can make it if we try. Don't make no flowers grow. Good things might come to those who wait, but not for those who wait too late. We gotta go for all we know. Just the two of us, we can make it if we try. Just the two of us.
Just the two of us.
Just the two of us. Building them castles in the sky. Just the two. Darling, when the morning comes and I see the morning sun, I want to be the one with you. Just the two of us. We can make it if we try.